Galatians chapter 5, we'll read verses 22 and 23. The Bible says this, it says that but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Brother Steve Dowdy, would you pray for me and pray for the message this morning that God would use it and speak to our hearts? Yes. Yes. Please, Lord. Yes, Lord, thank you for being so good to us. Yes. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated this morning. With the help of God, this morning I want to preach on this subject. Do others want what you have? I got the idea for this message this past Tuesday. I was listening to Final Fight Radio. Some of you know what that is. Some of you listen to it in here. Many of you may not. It's a radio station out in Oregon. And I was listening to it via internet. And they play good Bible-believing preachers on there and good singing on there. And I was enjoy that radio, listening to that particular station. And I was listening, and they had an old recording on there of Dr. Ruckman teaching an adult Sunday school lesson. And when the class was over, he asked him, he said, is there any questions concerning this lesson? And a young lady in the crowd, you could hear asking Dr. Ruckman a question, and you couldn't hear what it was, but he repeated, he said, that's a good question. And what the question was she asked Dr. Ruckman this. She said, how can we live our lives in such a way so that the lost world will want what we have? That's a pretty good question, ain't it? After all, if you're saved here this morning, you do have something that the lost world doesn't have. And he said, well, there's basically two things that we can do in order to influence the lost world and possibly put a desire in them to want what we have in Christ. And these were the two things Dr. Ruckman told this lady. He said, first, he said, by having joy and expressing joy in your salvation to others, since most people are miserable. Amen. And he says, second, by the way we handle sufferings of our life and handle them like a Christian should. Amen. I want to tell you something here this morning. If you want others to have what you have, if you have a desire in your heart this morning that people will get around you and you will become spiritually contagious to them and you'll get them infected with the Lord Jesus Christ, there's some things that are important. Obviously, you don't need to live like a hypocrite in front of them. Obviously, you need to live right. You need to do what you tell them you're a Christian. They'll not see you living a hypocritical life. But I tell you, there's two things that the world doesn't have and they're looking for. They're looking for true happiness and true joy. And they're looking for the meaning to suffering in life and how to get through it. And I believe that when you and I as a Christian go out to the world and show them that, hey, I know you're miserable even though you've got the money you want. I know you're miserable even though you've got the house you want. Even though you've got the education and the job you want. And here I am, a little old peon and don't have nothing. And I'm happy and you're not. You ought to be so contagious. That person says, why are you so happy? And then they ought to look at a Christian and be able to watch a Christian go through some of the darkest times of their life with resolve and faith. Amen. Now this may be some of you may think sort of a weird passage to come out of or begin with based on what I'm going to preach on this morning. But I'll tell you why I chose to start here, because what we've read here in Galatians chapter 5 verses 22 and 23 is the list in the Bible of the nine fruits of the Spirit. There's 9 fruits of the Spirit, and it's interesting to know that one of those fruits is joy. Don't talk to me about how you're filled with the Spirit and how you're some kind of great Christian if you don't have the joy down in your heart.
Right.
And the other one of these fruits is long suffering.
Right.
You say, what does long suffering mean? It means to be able to suffer long. It means to do it patiently too, and it's not just long suffering with others. And long suffering with what everybody else and with your situation, but it's long suffering in whatever God allows in your life, no matter how bad it is that I'm able to suffer and suffer long and suffer patiently and suffer with faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, folks, that's 2 things that's going to influence people, because that's 2 things the world doesn't have. The world doesn't have true lasting joy. The world doesn't have a meaning to all this suffering and pain and sorrow and how to get through it.
Amen.
Every 12-step program they've got out in this world can't get them through it.
Amen.
That's why they repeatedly go to the bar.
Yep.
They're on drugs.
Right.
They go from one relationship to the other. Trying to find some way to get through suffering. We have the Holy Ghost within us to help us in our times of suffering.
Amen.
So I just want folks to look at us and hope that they will find something real when they observe you and I living a life of joy in a world of suffering. That's what's going to get their attention. You're worried about your neighbor. You're worried about your coworker. You're worried about your family members. You say, God, I want you to use me. God, I want you to make me a witness. Listen, I'm not just talking about lifestyle evangelism. You do need to pass out a tract. You do need to try to win somebody to the Lord. You do need to talk to them about the Lord. But I'm telling you, if you want to influence people on a daily basis, so they'll say, man, that brother right there, that sister right there, they've got something I don't have and I want it.
Amen.
Then show them the joy of the Lord. And show them when life hits them in the gut that through the power of God, you got someone to help you get through it. Because that world doesn't. Let's just look at these 2 areas. We'll want to say a few things about them this morning. That'll be the message. Do others want what you have? First of all, we've talked about having joy in your life. And I don't believe, I'll just tell you, be honest with you this morning, there's many Christians who seem to have no joy of their salvation. You know, when David prays for that over there in Psalm 51, he says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. That implies a couple of things. First of all, that implies that you can lose the joy of your salvation. And that implies that there ought to be joy with salvation.
Amen.
He says, restore, bring it back, the joy of thy salvation. There ought to be some joy in being saved.
Amen.
But most folks, listen, I'm not trying to be ugly this morning. Please don't get mad with me right off the bat here this morning. But I look at some of you, and I see sometimes when I'm up here, and man, I'm still weak and ill from my surgery and everything, and I'm trying to get through this, and some of you are frowning, some of you are soured, you got your mouth turned down like that, you got your eyes squinting like that, and I'm wondering, what in the world's the matter with you, man?
Yeah.
You ought to be happy. I ought not look out over a crowd and say, man, about half these folks have been baptized in lemon juice. If you're happy and you know it, your face will surely show it.
Amen.
If you're happy this morning, some of you let your face know it, please.
Amen.
Listen, man, we got something to be happy about. I am not going to hell when I die. I used to be going to hell when I died. God has been far better to me than I've ever deserved. And it ain't just that along the way. I'm having fun. I'm enjoying communion with God. I enjoy coming here with my friends and just worshiping the Lord together and singing the praises of Zion and preaching the Word of God and listening to the Word taught in Sunday school. It's a blessing to me. I wouldn't go back and trade any pleasure I had in the world for what I'm experiencing now. I wouldn't trade it for nothing. It's exciting to be saved. If you're here this morning and you're not excited about being saved, you are not right in your heart.
Amen.
I can't even get you to smile, some of you now. We got too many Eeyore Christians. You know who Eeyore is? How many of you know who Eeyore is? Tigger's buddy or... Man, he is the downer. Any of you ever know somebody that everybody can be happy and excited and when they walk into the room? Ah, you shaking your head. When they walk into the room, you can see that dust behind them, you can hear that music. Listen, man, anything you get excited or happy about, they got something to say to try to knock the joy out of you. You know what the worst thing about that is? Is that's a lot of Christians.
Yeah.
It ain't lost people, it's Christians like that.
Amen.
God's people ought to be the happiest people on earth. We are saved and on our way to heaven.
Yeah.
Listen, this world don't want what you have if you're a joyless Christian. They already got that at home.
Amen.
I said, we say, why can't we get people to come to church anymore? I don't know. They can fuss and fight and listen to griping and complaining at home. They don't have to come to a Baptist church to hear it.
Amen.
And listen, folks, I'm not talking about this fake charismatic stuff where you just wide-eyed expression, oh, glory to God, how you doing? I'm talking about real, genuine joy produced by the infilling of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And if anybody here understands, listen, I'm not trying to get you to some kind of psychotic look in your eyes like, hey, man, I just chopped my foot off, glory to God. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about this fake stuff. I'm not talking about this, what people sometimes you think they have joy and happiness. No, they're just crazy. I'm talking about the real thing, man. The real thing. I know suffering hurts. I know you can't always smile when you're in pain. And I know there's some low spots in the road. But I'm talking about an overall disposition that I'm happy to be saved.
Yeah.
And I got the joy of my salvation.
Yeah.
And I'm more excited about God today than I've ever been.
Yeah.
Something wrong with you if you're not. And I can tell you this, you're not going to influence nobody. You Mr. Eeyore Christian? Don't go away from here. Listen, if you're like this all the time, don't go away from here telling nobody that you're a Christian. They don't want your Christianity. Don't go away from here, well, I go to Pleasant Grove Baptist Church. And say, honey, make a mental note. If that's what they're giving out down there at Pleasant Grove, we don't want none of that. We don't want none of that. We don't want Eeyore Christianity. We want some Tigger.
Yeah.
They don't want that. Here's your problem this morning. I'm going to sum it up for you. Here, I'm going to give you $1,000 worth of counseling for free. Everybody listening to me? I'm going to sum you up this morning if you're not happy. You're not happy because you're not spirit-filled. Bible says right there, part of being one of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. You're not happy because you're not spirit-filled. You're not spirit-filled because you're not living for Christ. You're not living for Christ because you're too worldly-minded. You're too worldly-minded because you're busy trying to please yourself. And you're busy trying to please yourself because you're selfish and unthankful. That's why you don't have any joy. I just broke her on down, didn't I? We broke it down. That's the problem. The problem is you're fixated on what you don't have. You're not thankful for what you do have. And you can't see how good God's been to you and how you and I don't deserve any of it. And because you're so worldly minded, you're going to pursue filling that fleshly needs. And you're not going to get real happiness. You're not going to get real happiness selling out to the flesh and the world and the devil. Here's a few verses you might want to know. Nehemiah 8:10. You know what Nehemiah 8:10 says? It says that the joy of the Lord is your strength. How many of you need some strength? I mean, how many of you say sometimes I just get down, I just need a little pep? The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Boy, I'm going to tell you, the joy of the Lord will give you something that you don't think you have to get through things you think you can't get through.
Amen.
The joy of the Lord. Psalm 132:9. And let the saints shout for joy. Do you know it's biblical to shout? I'm not talking about at your wife.
Right.
I know some of you were raised in these old dead, dried up Baptist churches, and if anybody ever said amen, they'd look around at you like you were crazy. You need to forget that mess.
Right.
The Bible says, not Brother Dennis, the Bible says, let the saints shout for joy.
Amen.
And I'm gonna shout for joy.
Right.
And if you want to sit there and look like you are sucking on a lemon and look around, crook your head around like a chicken peck and go, who's that back there saying amen?
Right here.
Who's that back there hollering and carrying on?
Yeah.
They're disturbing me. No, you've been dead for 25 years. Bless God. You ain't got a shout in you for nothing. God's been good to you and saved you out of hell. I'm going to tell you, the Pentecostals don't have a monopoly on the Holy Ghost. They're not the only ones that's got something to shout about. We've got eternal salvation, and you ought to be shouting the victory. Yes, that's good. Some of you ought to try it. You'd feel better. Bless God, I know you'd look better. I just don't believe in that, Brother Dennis. Oh, I just ain't got, listen, God didn't ask you whether you believed in it. God didn't ask you about your personality.
Right.
He said that the saints shout for joy.
That's right. Amen.
And I promise you, I don't care how reserved you are, I can push enough buttons and make you shout about something.
Amen.
And so I just think, like, oh, get in a hornet's nest. Let's see if you shout or not. I ain't emotional. Let me go out there and cut your tires with my pocket knife. Let's see how unemotional you are. Well, you know what? Let me get a bamboo and strap you across the back with it. You'll get emotional. Some of you get mad thinking about it. Your problem is you don't have no emotion for God.
Yeah, amen.
You don't have an emotion for God because you don't have the joy of your salvation.
Amen.
John 15:11, what did Jesus say? These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy, his joy, might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. You get your joy from him. He says, my joy needs to remain in you. Don't remain in some people. And he wants you to have full joy. He said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. God wants us to enjoy the abundant life. He wants us to have full joy. Romans 5:11. But we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Our joy is in God, and it's in God through Jesus Christ. That ought to make you happy. I am happy. 'Cause I'm happy. Come on. Anybody in here happy besides me?
Amen.
Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. You know what that Bible says? When you believe and trust in Christ, you have an opportunity to be filled with all peace and joy. When I trust Christ, there will be two things I get. The joy of the Lord and the peace of God.
Amen.
My sins have been settled. They've been taken care of. I am not going to hell when I die.
Amen.
Listen here, and I beat this dog enough and move on to my final point. If you go to work and you go to school and you go to church and in your community and in your home and in your neighborhood with no joy, not only will people not want what you have, but you will turn them away from what you have.
That's right. Amen.
Number two is suffering as a Christian. Let me tell you something that you already know, but it's true. Lost people face divorce, financial loss. Lost people have to pay bills. Lost people have physical pain. They have surgeries. Lost people have cancer. Lost people have trauma. Lost people have a death of a spouse, death of a child. Lost people have wayward children. They have heartaches. They have suffering, don't they? But guess what? Saved people face divorce. Saved people face financial loss and bills and physical pain. Saved people have cancer. Saved people have trauma and death of a spouse and death of a child. Saved people have wayward children. Saved people experience heartache. Saved people experience suffering. But we ought to face it. We ought to face it differently. We are not to sorrow as those that have no hope. We ought to face it with faith and hope. Let me tell you something. Do you sincerely sit out here today and you say, man, Brother Dennis, I really would. I'm real serious with you, Brother Dennis. I sure would like to live my life in a way where people look at me and say, I want whatever that man's got. All right? Well, I'm going to tell you when people will really pay attention to you. They're going to pay attention to you when the bottom drops out and you're suffering. And they're going to see, are you going to suffer patiently? And are you not going to get bitter and sour on life like they are?
Amen.
Like they are. Our confidence in God. Our confidence in God should shine forth when we are suffering. We can really get the world's attention when we suffer. And we suffer quietly, we suffer patiently, but we suffer confidently. And really and truly, to do all that, Christians save people, the only people in the world that can do that. You might have enough willpower to suffer quietly. You might just be a special individual to suffer patiently, but you cannot suffer confidently if you're not saved. That's the one thing that they all want. When that world's grasping for the money and grasping for the education and grasping for the power and grasping for all the toys in the world. And we talked about it in Sunday school this morning. And yet people that's got everything check in hotels every year on top of their game, blow their brains out. Because there's still something missing.
Amen.
And it's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And when they suffer and that lost person's on his deathbed, I don't care how much money he's got in the bank. I don't care how great of an insurance he's got. I don't care if he's got the best doctor in the world treating him for what he's suffering. He cannot die with confidence. And he cannot die with assurance. Only you and I can that are saved.
Amen.
I want to show you a few examples in the Bible. We're going to get into short rows here. Take your Bible and turn to the book of James. I want you to take your Bible and turn to the book of James. I want you to look at James chapter 5. Just a few examples to hit this home here this morning. We won't be much longer. James chapter 5. And I want you to look there at verse 10. We want to read a couple of verses. The Bible there tells us that the prophets are our example. The way they suffered. And we need to have the resolve and the trust that the prophets did. Many people, you read about them in the Bible and outside the Bible, have suffered very much for the Lord Jesus Christ. But they put it, they have faith in them and trust them in that. James 5:10, take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. They said they suffered for what they believed in, but they did it with patience. Verse number 11, behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. I've heard folks say, I don't want your pity. I don't want your pity. Well, the Lord is very pitiful, and I want his pity.
Yeah, amen, amen.
I'm glad he looks at me and pities me.
Yeah,
I like the Lord's pity, and I like my wife's pity. My wife's pretty good at it, but she probably gets put out with me way before the Lord does. The Lord is very pitiful and he's of tender mercy. Has anybody ever felt his tender mercy?
Amen.
He's so tender. The Lord's so tender. We need to understand that when we're suffering. He doesn't take it away, but he gives you the mercy and the tenderness to go through it. And then another couple of passages. Turn just right in the very next book over, 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. If you want, hey, if any of you are suffering and you want to know what's the greatest passages in the Bible, what does God say to the Christian that's suffering, you're not going to find any better than what you'll find here in 1 Peter chapter 2 and 1 Peter chapter 4. It addresses the subject of a Christian suffering and how you ought to respond to it. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 20. We'll just skip around, read some verses. Verse 20, for what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently. But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable to God. You know what really gets God's attention? And therefore will get other people's attention too. When we suffer and we suffer patiently. Amen. I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to get out of this hospital bed. I'm going to be mean to the nurses. I'm going to be mean to my wife. It ain't her fault that I'm sick, but I'm going to take it out on her.
Amen.
Some of the best compliments I've ever got in my life was this last deal back here when I had surgery. I was in that hospital. And the nurses talking about how nice I was to them. And one nurse coming there, she said, I just cannot believe that you haven't asked for a pain pill yet. I said, well, she says, you must have a pretty good threshold for pain. I said, well, I can handle pain real good. I said, it's up here that I have problems with. To prove that gaping hole in my side and putting that bag in there when they removed that kidney stone and all that pain, I didn't have no trouble with that. I didn't need any pain medicine, but I liked to freak out when they took that catheter out of me. Now listen, just because you're sick and just because you've been hurt in life and just because you've had to suffer gives you no right to be mean to people and take it out on them. As a matter of fact, they're looking at you in that bed when you're supposed to be hurting, you're supposed to be crying out, you're supposed to be suffering, and when they see you smiling and being joyful and talking about the Lord, they're saying, I don't know what that man's got, but I sure like to have a little bit of that. Instead of you acting like everybody else and they're just a meanie.
Amen.
Verses 21. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. He didn't run his mouth. Listen, when you're going through something, keep your mouth shut. Ask God to help you with that. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. He just trusted God with it. He said, my Father ain't going to ask me to do nothing or put me through nothing that's not right. If my Father wants me to go to the cross, I'm going.
Right. Amen.
That's how you look at suffering. And one more passage today, and we'll be finished. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 12. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 12. Now these are good passages. You ought to mark them. You ought to go back and look at them and study them and meditate on them and pray about them. Because we're all going to face suffering, okay? We're all going to face it. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is a trial. You don't think it's some kind of... Well, I hear Christians do this all the time. Why is this happening to me? That's a stupid question. You're getting treated much better than you deserve. The question ought to be, Lord, why hadn't it happened sooner?
Right.
Now, you never ask that. You're alleging in your own mind. Let me tell you something. Whatever you and I go through, it ain't half of what we deserve. Not half. Which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding. There's that word, joy. Be glad you get a chance to suffer for Christ. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you, and on their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. You ought to glorify God in your suffering. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Don't cause your own suffering, he's saying. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. You glorify God in your suffering. How do you do that? You do it patiently and kindly and with trust. I know you, if you suffer for any long extended period of time, you'll have some days when your flesh gets the best of you. You'll complain too much. You'll be grouchy sometimes. You'll get down sometimes. But overall, how do you handle suffering? That's the question. I want to stop right here and just go on. I wanted to read a few more verses. Read some of these verses. Read on to verse 19 and on. Read some of these verses in this passage later. 1 Corinthians 1:6 says, "And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation." You know what he said? He says, our sufferings should help us give others consolation and actually bring them to salvation. The reason you're suffering is to build some experience up in you where you can reach out to somebody that goes through the same thing. Adrian Rogers said that there are three viewpoints to suffering. I like these. Adrian Rogers said there's the human viewpoint to suffering, and that's misery. Oh, spare this agony on me. He said then there's Satan's viewpoint, and it's mystery. You don't know what all God's doing in heaven. He's just glad to be able to torment you. And then he said there's the divine look at suffering, and that's ministry. See, man looks at it and says, oh, I'm in misery. Satan looks at it and says, I don't know what's going on. It's a mystery, but I'm just glad to torture you. God looks at it, and it's ministry. He's doing something in you that you need, and he's fixing you to help do something in somebody else's life that they need. It's ministry. Listen, folks, everybody look up here at me now. I'm getting ready to close. But it can't be ministry if you're sour and bitter on God. Amen. Believe you me, when you are hurting, physically hurting, it is hard sometimes to keep the joy. But don't be defined by the moments you lose it. Be defined by your overall outlook. Are you suffering like a Christian ought to suffer? As we get ready to conclude this morning, I want to ask you two questions. Do you desire for others to be saved because of your example? And number two, do you want to live in a way that provokes others to ask you about your God? Hopefully everybody in here answered yes to both questions. Then I will tell you this. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't get in church and profess one thing and live another way out there in front of them. Live right in front of them. But listen, if you really want the world to look at you and say, oh my goodness, I want what she has, I want what he has, then you need to show the world on a day-by-day basis a cheerful countenance. You need to let them know that you are not nearly as miserable as they are. And then you need to show the world that you can have hope and you can have peace and you can have faith during the darkest times of your life. The world is looking for joy. And the world is looking for the meaning of suffering. And church, listen to me. If they see that you have it, they will want it, and hopefully they'll ask you how they can get it. Every head bowed, every eye closed.